have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
There's so many times in life that you question what God has for you. You know, for every purpose there's a plan. Well, I was that way too. And one day, I just decided to move. And I encourage you to do the same thing as I tell you a little bit about me. 17 with two babies outside. Nearly had me going crazy outside. I never thought I'd see the sunshine again. So I just kept on pushing, but you. You gave me life, you gave me hope, you gave me everything. You gave me life, you gave me hope, this is the song I sang. About the age of 27, I knew what I would be. What people didn't see in me,
you saw a masterpiece.
Growing up in this cold, cold world. Walking around with so much shame.
I wasn't popular in high school.
People barely even knew my name.
But you,
you gave me life. You gave me life.
You gave me hope.
You gave me hope.
You
gave me everything.
Everything.
You gave me life. You gave me life.
You gave me hope.
You gave me hope.
You gave me everything.
Just to make ends meet. We never wanted for nothing.
We
always had a good meal to eat. Always thought we had it made by the clothes we wore. But she just kept on pushing us. She knew that there was so much in store. 17 with two babies, babies. Nearly had me going crazy. I never thought I'd see the sunshine again. I just kept on pushing, but you. You gave me life, you gave me hope, you gave me everything. You gave me life, you gave me hope, this is the song I sang. I always knew life could be this good, just didn't know how I would get there.
Praise the Lord. I made it as well. To God be the glory. Good evening. It is a thankful Thursday, and we are ecstatic about this day because this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and to be glad. Amen. Well, good people, listen. We are in the beautiful month of April, and sun is shining most days in April when it's not really pouring down. But even through some of the rain in the month of April, we get this beautiful sunshine. And, of course, it says that, you know, the showers will come because April showers is going to produce and bring forth those May flowers, right? A little bit about that and women winning at life. But first, we want to have a word of prayer. Lord, our Father, majestic one, King of kings, And Lord of Lords, we come before you now to say thank you. Lord, we honor you and we bless your name. Bless this program and bless my awesome producer, your daughter, Kimmy Kim. I pray a special blessing also upon those under the umbrella of this fine network. Amen. I thank the Lord for each and every one and for you. All right. In the name of Jesus, oh God, you know, we say thank you and we bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yes, I thank the Lord for everyone and for my Father, for his Son, Holy Spirit, and, of course, for each and every one of you that may be tuned in. So today is April the 18th, and there are lots of observances. Today it is College Teen Literature Day, College Students Grief Awareness Day. It is Education and Sharing Day. It is also the Hawking Festival. That's a holiday outside of the realm of the United States, and International Day for Monuments and Sites. And finally, it is the International Jugglers Day. How about that for a fun twist at the end of that? But yes, thank you guys so much for being with us today. There are so many other observances today, but I did not want to belabor it with all of the different things that's observed on April the 18th. It is, however, National Exercise Day, which means I probably should be going to the gym where my money is going. I need to follow it for sure. April 18th, man, so many observances on this day. Well, I wanted to stop on right to inspire somebody, because we do know that God wants us always to share a kind word, an uplifting word, wherever we are and whomever we're speaking with. And so I endeavor to do that. So this is the place of positive vision, positive voice, and positive vibes. But by the way, it's the 108th day in the Gregorian calendar, and it marks the anniversary of the founding of the University of Alabama. This day is awesome, and the beautification of Joan of Arc. Famous, famous, famous people born this month, of course, includes Conan O'Brien. Also, Kourtney Kardashian, born on this day. Happy birthday to all of you celebrating on this day as well. Happy wedding anniversary to many of you that's holding that tight knot. Tied the knot, and you're holding it tight. Praise the Lord for you, and if you're celebrating an anniversary otherwise, in any capacity, I thank God for you too. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about some women in the Bible, just a little mention of them, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. I really am, because I tell you, I used to minister and preach so much. It was like, wow, man. I'm like, God, I thank you for this ride here. But it kept me prayerful. I was fasting more. I was studying all the time. Oh, my God. I mean, I was just going to different places I had never heard of before. Right here in my own state, I was going to visit places and minister to the church family. I was ministering also to women. I was ministering also to young people, but it mostly was church anniversaries, pastors' anniversaries, at luncheons. And I'm going to tell you about a situation that happened to me as a licensed and ordained minister of the gospel. There are things that women go through that are called and that are ordained, called and chosen by God to minister this gospel. Everyone's not on board. There are some men preachers who would say, no, a woman is not supposed to preach, and that's what they believe. Guess what? I am not judging them. I just understand that's where they are. But no one can tell you when the Lord has spoken to you, and they're like, you know, the Lord can speak to you. No, you must imagine things. If the Lord healed your big toe. Oh, no, the Lord don't do that. He doesn't do miracles today. That was only for the apostles. They can't tell you that because you know that you've been healed. It's similarly, when God calls you to minister, no one can shake that. They can't tell you, God didn't call you a woman. I say these men, you know, really, with all honor and due respect, let God be God. Let God be God. He calls women to do a lot of things in the Word of God. I'm going to share some of that with you. But, you know, as a woman minister, I have had to, some of the things I remember from all this going, I was preaching at a prayer breakfast on a Saturday. Then I would go to my church service on Sunday morning. I would go preach somewhere for 3 o'clock that day, or maybe that night at 7 o'clock somewhere. Then the next week, and maybe I'll get that Saturday off, but I am preaching that Friday night, and then I'm preaching that Saturday, that Sunday afternoon. So it was an ongoing thing for me. I thank the Lord. That was awesome. God did it. But I remember certain things. As a woman minister, a woman preacher, I had to endure. I went to a church in another city right outside of mine. And instead of the usher bringing me to my correct seat on this this ever stretched out pulpit area, I don't know, she pointed, go sit in that seat, right there to the right of that middle seat, go sit there. So I went and sat there, and the pastor in the middle of his lecture, whatever he's doing to the church, getting them prepared for the guest speaker, he says, now, I know she didn't just go and sit in that seat right there, so I had to endure that embarrassment. And, of course, self was saying, honey, you don't have to be here. Just walk out and leave. And I said, no, Lord, I'm not. I said, I'm going to have to deal with this. So I said, that I'm like, is he talking about me? I look around, I'm the only woman. I said, he must be talking about me. And he turned around and said, young lady, you can't sit there. That's the pulpit. You got to sit over on the wing. So he said, I don't let no women in my pulpit like that, right? So I was like, oh, my God, this is happening. But because I had endured other stuff before he got to me, my skin had thickened. But had that happened to me right after I was licensed or furthermore, right after I was ordained, maybe it would have been difficult. But because after I was licensed and I was called to minister, I endured some things. So by the time I got ordained, my skin was thicker, and I was able to deal with that kind of embarrassment, if you will. Of course, a lot of things in my household was left undone because I was ministering all the time. I am still paying the cost for letting some things go in the house, but it's okay because God will provide. And God always gives you back whatever you had to put on the side or lose in the interim to do his work and his will. So I had to go to a church where I ministered at a prayer breakfast in another city. It's not right next to mine, but it's somewhere down the way. And so I went to minister, and it had like maybe five or six preachers, men preachers on the pulpit. But I couldn't be on the pulpit. I had to stand on the floor. This was early, I think, earlier in my ministry life. So I had my big Bible, you know. It wasn't a real big Bible, but it was big enough. And then I had my notes, right? And they gave me this little podium. And this little podium to me was representative of what a singer would use when she plays her sheet music. That's how small it was. So I had to try and juggle my Bible and my notes and tried to continue to speak in the microphone, which was on a stand next to it. And, of course, still, you know, stay in spirit and not let this stuff bother me. Well, I didn't let it bother me, and I ministered the Word of God, and the pastor of the church said, my God, he said, this message was an awesome message, and it was all backed up by the Word. And I felt so blessed in that moment. because this same man wouldn't let me in his pulpit, but he said how that word was built on the word of God and how that word really blessed him. So I was grateful with that, and I thanked him, and I gave God the praise for it, and we had a wonderful time in the breakfast part of that prayer breakfast. There was another time I had gone to this church, and they had a white sheet over the sofa chair. Man, I got stories. Anyway, the white sheet over the sofa chair that I needed to sit on. And so it wasn't sitting on the pulpit. It was sitting on the floor next to the front row, kind of on a catacorner slant. It wasn't on the side wall, but it was like in the way, I would call it, of the side wall and the front row, to the right of the podium. So I had to sit in that chair. So when the choir was singing, and I got up and I started clapping my hands and just enjoying the choir, man, you know. And when I did that, somebody came over and she straightened the sheet on the chair. So I sat back down, and so another song came on. I got up, another song started to sing, and I got up and they fixed the sheet again. I said, "Oh Lord, I better get up again because I'm working somebody to keep fixing the sheet." So I stayed put. And I invited to my feet, and I was clapping my hands. Yeah. Then it was my turn to minister. And, of course, again, I had to go to a podium. This time, I probably had a smaller Bible, smaller notepad, because, you know, I'm learning all of this, and I'm doing this. And so I don't really remember exactly what I had, but whatever I had, I was able to manage it on the podium. And so I went on, and I ministered the word, praise God, and, you know, of course, they're just so kind when I minister outside of the city itself, and I minister in the suburbs or, you know, in our little country, lower-lying areas. They are so very kind and loving and supportive and, oh, my God, inspiring, okay? Because they gave me all kind of gifts, and, of course, they give me a love offering or whatever, and that was that. And I would drive myself back home. Sometimes it's 35 minutes, sometimes it's 55 minutes, sometimes it's over an hour, you know, hour and a half, depending on where I'm going, sometimes 2 hours. So that was another thing that happened to me as a woman minister. However, if I was a man, you know, born differently, different gender, whether I could preach or not, I can sit on the pulpit. Whether, you know, I was an adulterer or not, I could sit on the pulpit. Whether I was a gay man in a closet, they would know, they would let me sit on the pulpit because I was a quote-unquote man. But because I was a quote-unquote woman, they didn't care about my anointing. And they didn't care about how the Lord spoke to me because I was created in this gender. I had to sit on the floor. So those are the kind of things that, you know, I have to endure as a woman preacher. And when I went to certain churches, they would say, okay, thank you for coming. No love offering, no nice cards to say we appreciate you. So I could sit up on my desk or whatever, nothing, just thank you for coming. So early on in my ministry, that happened to me. They would always say thank you for coming or give me a chicken plate. I don't know if that happened in other states, but it happened here. So they'd give me a chicken plate, pat me on the back, say thank you for coming. And I really started to complain to God about that. I said, I can't believe these people. I said, in that church for 3 hours with all these groups they had and this, that, and the other, and da-da-da-da. And all they're going to give me is a chicken plate. I had to get my hair done. I had to get my nails together. I had to make sure I went and bought an outfit, the color of their scene. I had to put gas in my car. I came all the way down here. So I complained to God, not that that was the right thing to do, but I did. But God knew my heart, so he let me endure that because he knew I would be coming back and talking to him about that. And I did. And I tell you, and since so the Lord had to set me straight, and he did. I never was concerned about people giving me anything ever again. I prayed and I talked to God about it. I said, Lord, I can be real with you. This is upsetting to me. I can't believe this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So the Lord spoke to my heart, and he told me what I was doing was the work for the kingdom. And nobody gave me anything. He's going to give me everything I need. And I felt some kind of way about that, and I had to pray and repent. I had to pray and repent and say, Lord, why am I being concerned about me and being concerned about getting paid and being concerned about whether they're going to feed me or not? I say, Lord, I have to understand that it's not about me. It's about them. I pray about that. God fixed my heart. I never was concerned, excuse me, about whether people were going to pay me or give me enough of chicken dinner. And when I was resolved in that, everybody after they gave me money, and I mean big money, every time after I repented to God about caring about that stuff, I realized my calling was to do the Master's will. And since I had resolved to that, every church I had gone to, every organization that asked me to come and minister to the youth, every church blessed me. So much so that one church, after I ministered, brought to my table a birthday cake, and they sang happy birthday to me. Oh, my God. And I was on the phone with this man about 3 months ago because of a candidate that was running, and this pastor said, oh, yeah, I know you. How you been? Yeah, you came and ministered for us at our banquet. It was around your birthday. We gave you a birthday cake. I just laughed. It's amazing people running all these things. But yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. So that's what happened. That was just some of the things going down memory lane in my life of ministry. But I wanted to share a few of the women of God from the Bible with you. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a young woman chosen by God for an amazing purpose. Her story is preached in the book. Her story is predicted all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, and is fully told in the Gospels. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Up in the Old Testament, you'll find the story of Deborah or Deborah. Deborah was appointed to be a judge over Israel. But Deborah instructed a warrior named Barak to go into battle. When Barak refused, reprimand. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. But the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, we're looking at Miriam. So Miriam, the cousin of Moses, she led worship for the people of Israel. I guess she could sing real good. Because she spoke against the wife of Moses, however, she was struck with leprosy, but was later healed. Her story is told in the book of Exodus, and you can find some things about Miriam in the book of Numbers. What about Rahab? Rahab, people want to put down on people's lifestyles. Yes, there are a lot of prostitutes in the world that God has used, that God has cleaned up. And man, they have a strong testimony. They probably can tell you how close they came to dying. They probably could tell you how many diseases they may have caused. They probably could tell you how they had to run for their lives. God took a lot of those people, cleaned them up, and used them, even in their folly, in their sin. I know God was speaking to them, pulling many of them out. God don't speak to sinners. Yes, God does. Where did we get that from? God speaks to sinners. How do you think you got saved? How do you think I got saved? We were sinners, and he spoke to us. He said, come in, my daughter. It's time. It's time to come in. Yeah, grandmother prayed, grandfather prayed, mama, daddy prayed, all that. But God spoke to your heart at some point, and you were a sinner. So let's stop repeating things that we've heard that sound kind of cute. God speaks to sinners, because that's how we all got saved. We were sinners. God spoke to us and called us in. So Rahab, a sinner, of course. She is, or was rather, a prostitute in Jericho. So when Joshua sent 2 spies into the city, she took them in and she protected them from the king. The book of Joshua tells the request that she makes of these spies. She said, now then, please, say by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you care the lives of father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Yes, yes. Nobody but God, nobody but God would speak those kinds of words to this woman. She understood that God is God. I might be a sinner, she probably said, but God is God. And she got her request. Now, what about Ruth? Ruth married a son of Naomi. When they both became widows, Ruth followed Naomi to her homeland. You see, because Ruth was not an Israelite. So Ruth went to the homeland with Naomi, who was an Israelite, and she married a man named Boaz, and she became part of Jesus' family line. The book of Ruth tells this wonderful story. As Ruth replied to Naomi, when Naomi was trying to get rid of her, because Naomi felt like, well, I have nothing to offer you. I'm going for myself. I probably need a little alone time. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wow, wow, wow. You're talking about some attachment. Come on, Ruth. Show us how it was done. That's loyalty, friends. She said, this is an old woman. I married this woman's son. I married into the family. I became the daughter. She became my mother. I'm not going to let her go and do what? Stumble in the dark, trying to find her way back to her land, be by herself, needing help and don't have it. Uh-uh. Ruth said, I'm going to be there. And then there was Priscilla. Priscilla, she and her husband, Aquila, met the Apostle Paul working alongside him. She taught and traveled as part of her ministry. She's introduced in the book of Acts. She's mentioned by Paul in his letter to the Romans. Meanwhile, it tells us that a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of Scripture. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So, yes, he was preaching the word. He had a zeal that was greater than his knowledge. You know, sometimes that zeal is heavier than the knowledge we carry. Oh, yeah, we want those highfalutin jobs, but we don't have the knowledge for that. Sometimes our knowledge is so heavy, but we don't have the zeal. So, yes, we have the knowledge, but we don't go out looking for what we really deserve many times. But in this case, we see that Priscilla and Aquila say, okay, I love what you're doing. I love the way you're doing it. Well, let us give you a little bit more depth. So they became the mentors, the teachers. Amen. They became the mentors and the teachers. So God is good. He's good all the time. And you know what? God always gives us what we need because his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. It is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for me. And no matter what we go through, because I know I go through some trying times. I can't speak to anybody else. I go through some trying times. But in the midst of it, God still gives me joy. In the midst of it, he still gives me peace. And in my worship, I realized that mountain that I brought into worship with me to God came out of worship with God, not a molehill. And God has let me know, you can handle that. I have shrunk it to the size where you can handle that. So I give the Lord the praise today, and I pray that you have been inspired, that you have been encouraged, that you even have been enlightened. Amen. As a woman in ministry, you keep doing what God's called you to do. Don't listen to the naysayers, because the naysayers don't have a heaven or a hell for you. God has got just what you need. If God called you to it, God will see you through it, because God is the real deal. Amen. So to God be the glory, everybody. I'm going to hop on off right now. I thank you for sharing with me today. I pray nothing but God's choices, blessings upon you. Reach out to me. Please feel free to do that. I'd love to correspond with you. My email address is LorettaReviews@gmail.com. That's LorettaReviews@gmail.com. Once again, thanks to you, Kimmy Kim. I love you with the love of the Lord. And may God continue to bless the works of your hands. And on that note, I'm out. May God bless you. May God keep you. This is indeed my prayer. I'm Loretta Petit. This has been the Loretta Petit Show, Women Winning at Life, from Ministry to Marketplace. Bye now.